Exodus 4:1-17. Looking again at these objections Moses makes when God calls him, commissions him, sends him back to Egypt to rescue the Israelites, the Hebrews, from under the hand of Pharaoh. The first objection in the previous discourse was this: "Well, the people won't believe me, Lord. They won't listen to me. What have they done? What can I say?" And God gave him the signs to demonstrate, to vindicate that indeed Moses had been sent by God. And now, in this discourse, verses 10 to 12, Moses raises now another objection. "Well, it's already well, Lord, you see, but you see, I've never been eloquent. I've never been a great speaker. In the past, all the time you've been speaking to me, I'm slow of speech, I'm not quick-witted, I'm not gifted with my tongue, I'm not the man for the job, I just can't do it. I don't have the speaking ability. I have no power there. In the matter of what I have to say and in the manner of saying it, I don't have any ability here. You see my impediments. I'm just not up to the job. You see, you can call me, but I'm slow of speech and tongue. I'm not eloquent." Now, we know that this man was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. But whether this is a genuine feeling of Moses, whether he really felt it or it's an excuse, I don't know. But he probably saw the mountain that was before him and felt he couldn't climb it. He just couldn't do it. He's not the only one. When Abraham was, as he was then, Abram, was given God's promise, Abram said, "Well, look," he said, "I haven't even got a son, so how can this promise come through me?" Jeremiah saw his weakness in this area. He couldn't speak. Isaiah said, "Well, I'm a man of unclean lips. Why me?" And the fishermen who were commissioned by Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the world, in every part, in every place, the task must have seemed immense, well, well beyond them. Brother, sister, in Christ, we are called to labor for Christ in our time. Nothing like Moses, no. I'm not saying we're Jeremiah or Isaiah or Abraham or the fishermen in Christ's day, no. But in our small way, in our small works, we have to labor. We are privileged to labor. We have the duty, the responsibility, but the privilege, the honor, the dignity of doing something for God. Do we not feel, do you not feel, I certainly feel, the utter inadequacy here? God hasn't chosen people who can't speak and idiots, and he didn't choose people who are utterly unqualified. That's not the point. But whatever wit or wisdom, whatever power or education we've got, the task is beyond us. How can I, with my words, bring sinners, dead sinners, to life, to faith in Christ and repentance? How can I say things to edify the people of God? However eloquent, however learned anybody might be, the task is beyond us. It's not just immense. So what's the answer for us? What was the answer for the apostles? What was the answer for Moses? The sovereignty of God. The Lord said to him, verse 11, "Who gave man his mouth?" I, you see. I made the mouth. I made the eye. I made the ear. God is sovereign. He dispenses these gifts. John 9, even blindness. This is a very solemn subject. But God is sovereign. God made me what I am. He made you, brother. He made you, sister, what you are. We're responsible, we're accountable. I'm not saying anything against that. But the truth is, God made us. He made us what we are. And our hearers, our listeners, our viewers, the people we talk to, the people we're trying to help, God made them too. God can make the dead live. Ezekiel with the dry bones. You see, the truth is, my friend, it's not man's power. It's not man's wit or man's eloquence. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And the promise is, I will give you the words. I will help you to speak. I will teach you what to say. We get exactly the same in the New Covenant in Matthew 10:19-20. You'll be hauled before kings, said Christ. Before Gentiles. They'll ravage you. They'll give you the Inquisition, but have no fear. I will give you the words to say. My spirit will be in you. This is not an excuse for no preparation when we are called upon to speak, but it means that in our extremity, God will help. God will empower. And in the ultimate, only God can give life. Only God can give life to dead bones. Natural gifts are no substitute for the spiritual gifts. It's all the seminary learning in the world, all the book learning, all the training in eloquence and the power of the voice, and all the techniques of men are nothing. I'm not saying we shouldn't use our gifts and abilities to the best, but the truth is the desperate need is for the Holy Spirit to teach and enable the preacher, the teacher, and the hearer. It's not excellency of speech. 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5 is the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of the Spirit that counts. The weapons of our warfare, brothers and sisters, are not carnal, are not the natural weapons of men. They are spiritual, mighty to God and in God. Zechariah 4:6. It is not by might. It is not by power. It is by God's Spirit. Of course, Moses became a great and mighty teacher. We have many, many examples of that. God, you see, uses the weakest vessels, the poorest vessels. It's not that the most idiotic and the most foolish are the ones that God uses. It's whatever our abilities, whatever our talents, they are useless in themselves. What really counts is men and women equipped, called, commissioned, enabled by God's Spirit, and He working through their words, working in the hearts and minds and ears of the people who hear us, in their eyes as they see, and opening their hearts and minds to Christ, making the dead to live. It's only of God, my friend. And that's the need of the hour. As I look at the United Kingdom, I see judgment and darkness, spiritually speaking. But I know that God can take the weakest vessel, the poorest, most insignificant discourse, and open many hearts and bring a flood tide of blessing. I'm not eloquent, Lord. I can do it. Well, excellent. If you really feel that, Moses, that's excellent. That's what I must feel. I can't do it. But I want to hear the next. I can, says God. Now go. And I will help you speak. And I will teach you what to say. That is the need of the hour, brother. That is the need of the hour, sister. We need God-sent men and women to preach His word and teach His word through every station in life as we can. Yes, women as well are ministers of the gospel. I'm not talking about stated pulpit work only. The whole range of the gospel ministry. We need men and women filled with the Spirit to take Christ's word, the gospel, to a dead world, and God awakening sinners and building up his churches through our feeble labors. This is what we need. May we live to see it. May God arise and show his power again through our weakness. I feel about these little discourses. What use can they be? But I know that God can take them, and the weakest, smallest, even the tiniest pebble in David's pouch can bring down the largest Goliath. May God encourage us. May you be encouraged, brother, sister, to go on, not trusting in your own abilities, but looking to the Lord God and his power. His word cannot return empty or vain to him again. It must accomplish the purpose to which he sends it. May we live to see it in power in our day. Amen.